88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. In the 1960s, African-American track star Wilma Rudolph was known as the world's fastest woman. She became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals in a single Olympics in 1960. Hers was an unlikely path to Olympic gold. She was born in rural Tennessee in 1940, also an Olympic year. She was the 20th child in a family of 22 children. At age 4, she contracted polio, for which there was no vaccine at the time. She was fitted with a brace, which she wore for several years. Actress Gwendolyn Briley Strand will play the role of Wilma Rudolph in the Maryland Humanities Council 2015 Chautauqua series. She picks up Wilma Rudolph's story in character.
I was sitting there on the sidelines just watching other children play and jump and run. And I used to get so mad at myself. But, you know, I think that's when I started fighting back. That's when I was determined that I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life sick. And so I just practiced and walked, and sometimes I would, you know, try it without the brace because I couldn't go to school. I started very late in school because my body couldn't support, this leg couldn't support. But finally, I did. I started elementary school, and I would sit there and watch all the children, how they'd run and they'd play. And I guess I was a little over 10 years old when the first time, it was a Sunday, that I walked down the aisles of my church without my brace.
Without your brace.
Without the brace. Now, you know, no one had ever seen me because everybody considered it a part of me. It was the first thing I put on in the morning and the last thing I took off at night. But that day, I walked without my brace. And I guess it was the first time in my life that I felt healthy, whole. And from then on, I had a lot of making up to do.
Yes, you did.
Oh, but I did.
And of course, you became this legendary athlete. We know you as a track star, as a fast runner. But your first love when you were a child after you got the brace off was basketball.
Basketball. Oh, I loved basketball. That was the favorite pastime of everyone, adults and the children. And I used to sit when I had my brace and when I was strengthening my leg. I used to sit around, I'd watch all the people play basketball, and I'd sort of, you know, analyze what was going on. I'd watch their running and their basket making and the dribbling, and I decided I was going to play basketball. And so when I started Burke High School from 7th to 12th grade, I tried out for the basketball team.
And that worked out pretty well, didn't it?
It did. My oldest sister, she was on the basketball team. And I think my father and her threatened Coach Gray, and he put me on the basketball team. And then it was just history from there.
Yeah, you did. You won some championships. You were, you know, a great star as a basketball player.
I did.
How did you switch from basketball to running, to track?
Well, you know, I didn't play for 3 seasons when I started. I sat on the bench just watching and dreaming of being the star of the basketball team. But finally, I got a chance to play. But what I would do is in between games, I would practice and I'd practice. And then in between basketball season, I would run on the track team. Now, running track was just natural for me. I loved it, but it was natural. It was basketball that was my heart. But I tried out, and I would run track, and well, then next thing I knew, I was doing more track than I was with basketball.
Yeah, and when you ran, how did you feel? But what was it? What was it about running that animated you so much?
You know, I felt so free when I was running. It was like, I don't know why I ran so fast. I just ran. But I loved the freedom and the spirit that I had in me when I was running. It was like I wasn't competing against anybody else but myself.
You had so many barriers to overcome, health barriers as a child, race barriers growing up throughout your entire life.
Yes.
Gender barriers, women in track, you know, there were a lot of events that were closed to women. It was only open to men. Mm. You surmounted all of them. and became such an inspiration and a role model to many athletes who came after you. Flo-Jo, the famous Florence Joyner, was you know, cites you as, you know, her biggest inspiration. She also went on to win three gold medals.
Yes, she did.
What do you think it is about you that enabled you to overcome as much as you did?
You know, I the determination of persistence. I think it started when back with Coach Gray. That's how I got my nickname, Skeeter. He said I was like a mosquito. I was persistent, always just under his feet, getting in the way, but just persistence. And the young women that I mentor today, I tell them to be persistent, be confident in what you can do. Self-confidence is important, and be confident in what you can do and keep at it. Keep persisting. Keep trying. And you fall down, you get back up, and you keep trying to be the best and achieve the best that you can be.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. The actor Gwendolyn Briley Strand plays the role of Wilma Rudolph in this year's Maryland Humanities Council Chautauqua, which is taking place this week and next week at various locations around the state. And she is here with me in the studio. And it's so great to see you. Of course, so great to meet you as Wilma Rudolph and as Gwendolyn Briley Strand.
Thank you, Tom.
It's these living history projects where you and other actors take on the roles of these iconic figures. It seems to me that one of the big challenges would be to find out what their mannerisms were, what they looked like. Wilma Rudolph's a very famous figure. There's tape of her running and whatnot. There's even tape of her speaking in interviews. But so we know the events that happened in her life. We know about the gold medals. We know about the wonderful advances she made against racism and segregation. But how do you find out what she looked like, how she moved, what she sounded like? How do you inculcate that into your performance?
And that really is it's difficult with the characters that I play that are more modern, and people have all of these frame of references that they can judge. The other characters that I play, which are long past, like Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, then I have more license with it. But I would watch as much of the video that I could of Wilma and get her mannerisms there. I'm not as tall as Wilma, so I brought me some tall shoes to give me a little bit of height, and you keep yourself, your carriage straight so you can give the appearance of being taller than you are, and you just delve as much as you can. She wrote an autobiography, so I got to find out a little bit about her perception of her life, because with the biographies, they were everyone else's perception of her. So, but she was a very private woman, so it was difficult with Wilma.
Sure. I mean, she died, she just passed in 1994, and she was a young woman. She
young
was in her
woman.
mid-50s.
Yes. She was 54 years old. She died of brain cancer, and she died quickly too, because she didn't find out. She was diagnosed in July, and she was dead by November. She died quickly. And when she appeared toward the end of her life in public, she didn't want everyone to see how sick she really was.
When you're performing, I mean, preparing is one thing, but then when you're performing, and especially when you're doing people like Harriet Tubman or Rosa Parks, and you're talking about a very different era, Sojourner Truth, how is it, it must be difficult to navigate the fact that you're in one historical era, and the audience is in another. So how do you put an audience in 2015 back in 1960 or even in 1860 with Harriet Tubman?
Yes, it really is difficult, and especially when you have a Q&A in character. So I try and set the atmosphere with the character and the monologue and take them back into this time. With Harriet, I wove a lot of the spirituals into the dialogue that I'm singing to sort of set this atmosphere and keep them there. Also with Rosa. So that's difficult. typical. The question and answer, they always want to ask me. They'll ask Harriet Tubman what she thought of Martin Luther King. And so you have to say, who, you know, who is that? So it's they will jump back and you have to keep reeling them back into the time period that you are, which and eventually they get it. So when I do the Q&A as the scholar, then I can tell them, because there's some questions I obviously cannot answer in character. And so I'll have to just, I have no idea what you're talking about. And especially when they say, well, what did you die of? And of course, I'm not dead.
You can't know that.
I don't know. So that's really funny. So it's entertaining, really, going from the character into the skull, and then they understand why I couldn't answer some of the questions.
And especially for children, it seems to me that this is a very vivid, compelling way to teach history. You have a company called See the Fruits,
yes,
which concentrates on using the arts to teach American history. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Maryland Humanities Council has done these Chautauquas now mm-hmm. for many years. There's a particular connection you can get with your audiences, particularly
there
kids,
is.
That you can't get if you're preaching at them or teaching at them or writing a book for them.
It is. It's so important. And that's why I started out. I still do television and film. I do a lot of voiceover work. But when I wrote the piece, The Chosen One, it was important for me to make sure it was factual, because we tend to skew our history. And that's why we don't, as Americans, know the facts of our history. So And as an actor, I knew it would be entertaining, but it was important for it to be a history lesson also for them. And the children, they become so involved in it, because now there is this person in front of them, not a date and they have to remember and all these different facts, but it's a person who loved and hate, had relationships, who laughed, who cried. And this person becomes so real that it encourages them even more to do even more study, which is what that's what I want. I mm-hmm. want them to learn about our history, American history.
And the humanity of these
yes,
figures,
right.
The flaws, the great
That's
talent
it.
They had.
That's you know, it. The fears mm-hmm. of these people that they can, you know, you can learn something from them. They weren't perfect. You know, they weren't all bad. They weren't all good. The humanity of them, yes.
The actor Gwendolyn Briley Strand, she'll appear as the Olympic legend Wilma Rudolph in this year's Maryland Humanities Council Chautauqua. It's called Sporting Lives, and it includes actors playing the roles of Babe Ruth and Jim Thorpe as well. They'll be at Montgomery College tonight, tomorrow, and Friday. They'll be at the Community College of Baltimore County over the weekend and in Cecil County and at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum in St. Michael's early next week. We've got a link to the complete schedule on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Gwendolyn Briley Strand, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. Lots more ahead. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.